Hello, Sower Nation. This is Catherine Guerrero from the Farm Team, and this is your wake-up call. I'm here for Lent during Jesus the Stranger. We are getting close to Easter, and I'm excited for that. Before I get started with the prayer of consecration, I want to remind you that JD is going to be back on the wake up call right after Easter for 1 John. So if you click on the wake up call email, there is more information about that. There are readers that you can buy. There is a church kit that you can use in your community. It's going to be so much fun. And I know JD is excited to be back on. So let me jump right into the prayer of consecration and we'll begin our day. Wake up, sleeper, rise from the dead, and Christ will shine on you. Abba, I belong to you. I lift up my heart to you. I set my mind on you. I fix my eyes on you. I offer my body to you as a living sacrifice. Abba, we belong to you. Praying in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Amen. So today's reading is entitled Peter. And pull out your Bibles. We are going to be reading out of Matthew chapter 26, verses 69 through 75. Now Peter was sitting out in the courtyard, and a servant girl came to him. You also were with Jesus of Galilee, she said. But he denied it before them all. I don't know what you're talking about, he said. Then he went out to the gateway, where another servant girl saw him and said to the people there, this fellow was with Jesus of Nazareth. He denied it again with an oath. I don't know that man. After a little while, those standing there went up to Peter and said, surely you are one of them. Your accent gives you away. Then he began to call down curses and he swore to them, I don't know the man. Immediately a rooster crowed. Then Peter remembered the words Jesus had spoken. Before the rooster crows, you will disown me 3 times. And he went outside and wept bitterly. Okay, so we're going to jump right into the consider this portion. I'm excited to see what Kenneth has to say here. As Jesus was taken to the house of Caiaphas for trial, Peter followed him at a distance. Ride up to the courtyard of the high priest. See Matthew chapter 26, verse 58. Motivated perhaps by both love and curiosity, Peter would soon face his own trial in the courtyard and its surroundings, for which he was ill prepared. Though Jesus had warned him earlier in the Garden of Gethsemane to watch and pray, he nevertheless slept away. Subsequent events would reveal that Peter should have heeded the words, the pointed caution of Jesus. A servant girl of the high priest approached Peter while he was sitting in the courtyard and declared, you also were with Jesus of Galilee. The reference to Galilee may be an indication of geographical pride on the part of the girl who evidently was a Judean and well aware of it. In speaking up, the girl had attracted some attention, and the audience by now was larger than simply Peter and herself. Peter denied the claim before them all, and to be even more forceful and empathic in this, his first denial of Jesus, Peter added, I don't know what you're talking about, a statement that was obviously false. Earlier, Peter had boasted in a way in which he had compared himself with the other disciples quite favorably. Even if all fall away on account of you, I never will. Verse 33. Again, to indicate just how confident he was in terms of his own resolve, Peter had also exclaimed, even if I have to die with you, I will never disown you. Verse 35. All of this bravado, however, was now gone. it revealed to be little more than empty boasts, and Peter's trial was just getting started. After this scene, no doubt shaken, Peter got up and headed toward the gateway, which was a vestibule between the courtyard and the door that led to the street. Perhaps he was thinking about leaving the area. Then another servant girl spoke up. But unlike the first one, she didn't address Peter, but the people milling about in the vestibule. This fellow was with Jesus of Nazareth. Once again, for the second time, Peter would deny any association with Jesus. But this time around, he did something different, an action that Jesus had warned against earlier, had even forbidden. But none of this mattered anymore. Peter was gripped by fear. What did he do? He attempted to underscore the truthfulness of his own denial of Jesus by confirming it with an oath. In short, he would swear to the truth of his own lie. He should have kept watch as Jesus had cautioned. This whole area was filled with so much potential mischief, with many ways to go very wrong. And that's probably why Jesus had warned Peter and others earlier. But I tell you, do not swear an oath at all, either by heaven, for it's God's throne, or by the earth, for it is his footstool, or by Jerusalem, for it is the city of the great king. And do not swear by your head, for you cannot make even one hair white or black. All you need to say is simply yes or no. Anything beyond this comes from the evil one. And that is Matthew 5, verses 34 through 37. Again, what had Peter done? He had invoked nothing less than a solemn oath as a cover for his own lying. Fear can make people do strange things. Though Peter wanted to be near the mouth of the courtyard, perhaps for a quick exit, he nevertheless did not flee, but remained in that area. After a little while, Peter was accosted by those standing there who claimed, "Surely you are one of them. Your accent gives you away." Peter responded to such a claim in yet a third denial of Christ. And this was his most grave and forceful disavowal of all. Peter not only swore to these people in the vestibule that he did not know the man, as he had stated earlier to the servant girl, but he also began to call down curses. The difficult question here, of course, is upon whom did Peter begin to call down curses? Though our text itself does not clearly answer this question, there is more than enough room for ambiguity. Nevertheless, there are at least two possibilities that should be considered. First of all, as in his second denial, Peter may have called down a curse upon himself if he were lying. The logic here would be that he would never do such a thing. That is, take such drastic, self-defeating action of cursing himself unless his statement was true. Simply put, this was yet another round of the liar's game. Add strength and force to the pretended truthfulness of what is actually a lie. The problem, however, with this view is that the verb used in our text may not be reflexive. In other words, there is no mention of Peter doing something specifically to himself. Nevertheless, this interpretation remains a possibility given the ambiguity of the text. The second option would be that in his third denial, Peter actually called down curses upon Jesus himself. This option, however, seems less likely given Peter's earlier confession that Jesus is the Son of the living God. See chapter 16, verse 16, as well as his two earlier boasts about his deep and unwavering commitment to Christ. See chapter 26, verse 33 and 35. To be sure, Peter's problem, his predicament, and his third denial was that he needed to add weight to the supposed truth of his grandiose lie. Cursing himself in a harsh and damning way would surely accomplish all of that. It would get the job done. There was no need at all to curse Christ. Why do it? That kind of strength and force was simply unnecessary. Whether Peter cursed himself or Christ, although it was probably the former, one thing remains abundantly clear. Peter, unlike Judas, was later restored to the sweet graces of fellowship. He didn't despair even after committing a very grave sin. Indeed, upon hearing the rooster crow, Peter remembered the prophecy of Jesus and recalled that the religious leaders in the house of Caiaphas had mocked that Jesus was a prophet. And he began to repent almost immediately as he wept bitterly. Beyond this, the Gospel of Jesus presents the later encounter of Peter with the risen Christ in an incident that not only demonstrates a hearty restoration of Peter, but one that also prepared him for his generous leadership role in the church at Pentecost and beyond, when the Holy Spirit was given in fullness. This reconciling text, which offers three affirmations in Peter in the face of his earlier three denials, is worth quoting at length. When they had finished eating, Jesus said to Simon Peter, "Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these?" "Yes, Lord," he said, "you know that I love you." Jesus said, "Feed my lambs." Again, Jesus said, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" He answered, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." Jesus said, "Take care of my sheep." The third time he said to him, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" Peter was hurt because Jesus asked him the third time, "Do you love me?" He said, "Lord, you know all things. You know that I love you." Jesus said, "Feed my sheep." And this is from John chapter 21, verses 15 through 17. Another important issue here calls for our attention. Jesus had taught earlier that anyone who speaks a word against the Son of Man will be forgiven. See Matthew chapter 12, verse 32. So then, whether people call down curses upon themselves in the attempt to solidify a lie, or whether they curse Christ out of ignorance, who could ever curse Christ out of knowledge of who he is, or out of fear or darkness or abject pain, they can yet and wonderfully be forgiven. The grace of God manifested in Jesus Christ can shine forth and bring joyous cleansing and renewal. The light that has come into the world knows no equal. He offers the luster of refreshing forgiveness, one that gives hope to all. Peter was restored. And that wraps up our Consider This portion. This is really powerful. I just have a sense to encourage you to meditate on these scriptures. And for me, I'm thinking about how I have places in my heart that are like Peter, and I have my own doubts and really fear of man over fear of God and experiencing and receiving the love of God, the love of Jesus. And I'm really humbled by the reality of Jesus's forgiveness for us, and not just a one-time thing. It's an ever ongoing, unfolding waterfall of forgiveness. And that is really touching me in a deep way. And I pray that it touches you in a deep way today as well. So I'm going to jump into our prayer and then the questions. And I just pray and hope that this meeting with Jesus has touched you today, and that through Lent, you're experiencing transformation. Okay, the prayer. Lord, as I examine my life, I may ask sometimes, how could I have done that? Or what was I thinking? Fear drives me away from you and deeper into sin until I cannot recognize the difference between the truth and a lie. Thank you, Lord, for your amazing grace and boundless love that casts away all fear. And then the questions. Compare and contrast the betrayal of Jesus by Judas and the denial of Jesus by Peter. In what ways were there similar actions? In what ways were they different? Why was Peter restored and not Judas? Well, I thank you guys and I bless you today. I'm Catherine with the Farm Team for the Awakening on behalf of Kenneth Collins and Jesus the Stranger. I will see you tomorrow.
We hope that today's entry challenged and encouraged you. And thanks for listening to The Wake Up Call, powered by Seedbed. Be sure to share this with a friend, leave us a rating, and subscribe wherever you prefer to listen to podcasts. Find out more and join the movement by visiting our website at seedbed.com/wakeupcall.